Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
My name is Nick Lewis. I started playing with Drupal in like 2004. Some of you might read my blog. But I've always been kind of a Drupal trend tracker. I started with Drupal kind of like a kitten, playing with like this weird box, this like weird toy that I didn't like understand and like, you know, I was like pawing at this toy. After a while, I realized I couldn't understand the toy on my own. And so I needed to like figure out how other people were like playing with this weird toy. And so I started, subscribing to the mailing lists and, you know, tracking all the issues. And what I eventually found was that there was like a way that people were thinking about Drupal. They couldn't necessarily like put it in a way that normal human beings understood, but there was like certainly a way that was understood. So I guess for about 6 years, I've just been like trying to figure out what this weird way, the Drupal way, if you will, actually is.
And so you've published some, you know, different blog posts talking about, you know, different things you've been researching, and, you know, you've looked at different trends on many different big websites. And so what were some of the big conclusions that you came to in looking at?
Well, I think the most important conclusion I came to was that the big Drupal shops themselves, they tend to follow actually a really like systematic pattern, which actually alone isn't that interesting. And, you know, it's like they start with panels to lay out the complex stuff. They plop views into them, and those views are generated by CCK. But on its own, it's not that interesting. So what I've had to do is, since I have to fill an hour about this, you know, you can't like fill an hour like, oh, views in CCK again. Oh, look, they made it simple, so like they don't have to do a lot of work. Is try to like find some higher level trends in all of this. And I'd say maybe the highest level trend that we see in big picture thinking is that like being a Drupal developer these days is kind of resembling being a doctor. In the way that I think a lot of people will start with like a Drupal site. Then the client's like, all right, I want this. I don't understand how the interface is going to look, but I just want it. And I think what the big Drupal shops are being like, whoa, easy there, big guy. This is a complex system you might not understand. Let's first diagnose the problem, and then we'll figure out the prescription. But we don't want to like prescribe something that doesn't actually attack the problem we're trying to solve, if that makes any sense.
What it sounds like is that, you know, there's a lot of different ways to build a Drupal site. It can be built in any way. It's what's your intention? What are you trying to do? I don't know if that's what you're trying to get at.
What I'm trying to do is like find metaphors that we can use to solve a lot of problems. I think a lot of times in the Drupal community, what we do is we try to pretend things are like processes when in fact they're not. It's like a very organic process building a website. You can't just be like, for every single website, this one process is the way to do it. You know what I mean? So I guess that's what I'm trying to get at in my presentation, is that like Drupal itself, it's best understood like a ecosystem, really. It's almost like Mother Drupal. You know, Mother Drupal doesn't necessarily have an opinion about your website, but it is an ecosystem. What you're doing is you're just using things that grow in this ecosystem to build your website. What I'm saying, I guess, is a little strange, but like when you're actually building a website, you have to look at each module as sort of like a life form that has been developed in another ecosystem, and you're trying to now exploit it for whatever you're doing. So you don't want to like necessarily like take the newest module out there, because it hasn't really like been tested by this ecosystem yet.
Yeah, I guess that part of the interesting thing about your perspective is being involved with Drupal since 2004. That's, you know, 6 years, which in Drupal years is a lot. You know, it's about 2/3 of the history of Drupal. So it's changed and evolved a lot quite since then, and become, you know, there's a lot of modules that are out there, and a lot of site building is used in CCK, but then grabbing a lot of the modules that are out there and then doing a lot of custom stuff. So I don't know, like, since you've been involved with Drupal, you've sort of seen that evolution. So maybe you could talk a bit about that.
There have been times where it's literally like an asteroid hits Mother Drupal, right? Where suddenly 4.7's on the scene, and like Mother Drupal's been hit by an asteroid, and now no module works. And like only the strongest are able to like, you know, claw their way back to life, you know what I mean? Also there's like asteroids like using CCK occasionally hit the scene, and dinosaurs like the event module die. Or the pull module becomes just a weird lizard that we're now like trying to like trap in Drupal. But I mean, you know, like these days there are actually like a few asteroids that are on the horizon, D7 notably. And it's going to be, I can't tell you exactly how that's going to play out, but when I think about D7, like an asteroid that's going to reconfigure the sort of background that makes Drupal modules, I find it a more helpful way to start than just D7 is going to change a lot of things and we need to think about it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not worried because humans have always like been dealing with complicated systems that they don't understand. Like even a cute dog is actually a complicated system. And that cute dog once was a wolf, but somehow we figured out like how to breed wolves in cute dogs. You know what I mean?
Do you see any other like big asteroids on the horizon, like Features or Eiger, or these insulation profiles, or what do you see if the impact of those are as big as an asteroid level?
Well, I think in the immediate future, what's going to happen is D7 is an asteroid, and then we'll start looking into space for our next asteroids. If I were to point them out, I think some of the stuff that's happening in the display, have you heard of Display Suite? It's this module that manages sort of how stuff displays and views, like whether it's, I don't know if you've ever like worked on a Franken site that has like 60 different views with 6 fields per view, but Display Suite makes it easier for you to actually, put those into one, display style. And I think that's going to be a big thing to watch. The other one is there's this project called Skinner. I haven't fully understood it yet, but I think that's something that I'm definitely going to be watching in the future, is how we're putting styles and themes together. I think that's a big topic. In a way, I'm almost, you can't really see asteroids coming a lot of the times, but these are the directions I'm looking in for asteroids in.
And finally, you in your blog, you use a lot of very colorful, metaphoric language to kind of explain the deeper trends of Drupal, and one thing that sticks out is Drupal hell. So maybe like what was your concept of Drupal hell when you're sort of going through and your intention of writing about that?
All right, well, that's actually a really funny story. So I was in Drupal hell when I wrote that post. At that time, I hadn't been doing this for a long time, but I started noticing like patterns in these projects where it basically started with like a client and a designer deciding reality and then being like, hey, developer, just do this. And the developer being like, WTF? Like in this next presentation, I'm kind of going to expand on Drupal hell a little bit and talk about the topic of the Drupal Frankenstein. And like what a Drupal Frankenstein is when we sort of start with these designs and feature requirement bullet points. And we're like, yeah, we can do that with Drupal. Of course we can. It's easy, We'll just cobble this like, CCK field, and then we have CCK like bulk updates, and it'll be easy. And what we're left with is like this really complicated site that when you actually try to change something in it or even work with it, it is like Frankenstein. Like anybody who's been working with Drupal for a while has worked with this site where you try to change the simplest thing and its response is like, argh. And I think the problem is that we need to start kind of with Drupal's capabilities when we're building a Drupal site. It seems kind of obvious, but when you look at most of the processes that people use to build Drupal sites, they're actually exaggerating Drupal's weaknesses and hiding Drupal's strength, which is if you have an idea, you can build it really, really quickly in Drupal, and it's like real. It's a web application. You can actually click around in it and test it. But too many processes start with, all right, first let's make a giant list of bullet points and have a lot of meetings to define this list of bullet points so everyone's involved. And then we move to making ugly pictures or wireframes, whatever you want to call them, out of this list. And then somebody makes a Photoshop file, which becomes like, this is what we're signing off on. And then, you know, in the end, the poor developer is the one that has to implement it. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. This is how really crappy Drupal sites develop, in my opinion. I don't think a single great Drupal site has ever... Well, I think great Drupal sites can be developed this way, but it takes a lot more effort than it should, I guess is what I'm saying.
So what's the resolution there with, you know, what's the way to prevent getting into this Frankenstein situation? At what point is the leverage point to be able to change instead of doing this the way that you're describing it? You should do this instead.
You know, in the story of Frankenstein, it's kind of a story of playing God, of like toying with stuff you don't necessarily understand. And I think that's why we create the Frankenstein. If you're doing like the traditional site building method, when you're making all those feature requests and bullet points, you haven't actually worked with the creature yet, so you don't really know what's important about it yet. So the way to prevent that is actually just to sort of start with the real thing. Like, if you want to make, let's say, a application where you write notes and share them with people, don't start with the bullet points. Start with, you know, a text field. Like, this is the interface that you enter a note in. And you can do this in Drupal. And then when you start entering a lot of notes, you'll come up with features like, oh, maybe I should be able to follow people's notes. And you can do that very easily with views, and it can like build itself organically, where you're actually responding to the real thing instead of your imagination of what the real thing is.
So iterating, in other words.
Iterating, and also the idea is you have to have like a goal that everybody understands. It's like really easy, like sharing notes. You know, not like, this is a complex social application where people put in notes and share notes. And then feature. Because whenever you define like an application or website like that, nobody really knows what it's talking about. You know, we've all been through the drill where you build something exactly to your requirement, but the client's like, that's not what I asked for. And you're like, no, this is what you asked for. Look, like we have every field you wanted, we have every ability. And the client's like, that's not what I meant. I mean, we all know this drill where when we use bullet points and words, we don't actually know the implications. And I think that's, you know, sort of the main thing that creates Frankensites is when we're using words, not real applications to make our decisions.
Great. Well, thanks.
Hey, thank you. I hope this didn't confuse people more than they already are.